Hey everyone, thanks for joining us today. I'm excited to be bringing a word to you today about joy. This is the season to have joy. It's a season to celebrate this season of Christmas, not just to get caught up in all of the things that we do around Christmas, but to remember the real reason for Christmas. It's Jesus. He is our joy. And I pray that you'd be filled with joy today as you watch along. Well, I want to get all Christmassy on you this morning. Is that all right? There's nothing wrong with that, is there? Come on, tis the season after all. And as I was preparing this during the week, I realized it's probably really just the second half of what Pastor Rudy was sharing last week, if you were here. But I really just want to share on joy this morning, because it really is a season of joy. And I want to encourage us with this. And when I began to think about it, I realized that if we're not careful, to be honest, in the church sometimes, we can become guilty almost of really missing the celebration of this season. Now, it might sound strange to say, because you say, Andy, what are you talking about? We're about to have Christmas Spectacular next week, and it's going to be incredible, by the way. Make sure you bring all your family and friends. It's going to be awesome. We got Christmas Spectacular next week. We had gift-giving service last week. We sing the carols. No doubt we're always so generous giving gifts to all of our family and friends, and we do all of the Christmas stuff. I'm sure we do. But the truth is, the joy isn't just found in all of the acts that commemorate Christmas. The joy is found in the reason for Christmas, and His name is Jesus. Sometimes when we're the most familiar with the message, and we're the most familiar with the things that we're supposed to do around Christmas, and sometimes that can mask and numb us to the real joy that's found in the message of Christmas. We ought to never get familiar with what it is that we're celebrating. When you're celebrating because you know that you're supposed to and you're doing those acts, the celebration isn't really coming from the heart. We're just doing the things that we know are supposed to be done in December. But if that celebration is really coming from that joy that comes from knowing Jesus and celebrating what it is and who it is that God has given us as humanity, then that celebration will come very naturally. And I want to encourage us again as a church that this is the season to celebrate, not just to do the right responses, but really to celebrate together. Because if anybody on the face of the planet has a reason to celebrate, it's those who know what Christmas is all about. You know, as I was reading this this week, I began to notice that celebrations were actually law in the Old Testament. I don't know if you have read this, but to celebrate was law. You must celebrate. It's not a terrible law when you think about it. Shall not break that law. I must celebrate. I mean, there are worse things to have in a law. It's awesome. But when you look at this, in Exodus 23, I was reading this during the week. Each year, you must celebrate. This is God talking. Each year, you must celebrate festivals in my honor. Celebrate the festival of unleavened bread as I commanded you. You must celebrate. Second, celebrate the festival of harvest. Finally, celebrate the festival of the final harvest. This is God saying, you must celebrate. Why would God take the time to write this into His law? He's telling the Israelites, you must celebrate, because He's trying to get them to stop for a moment and say, when you celebrate, I want you to stop and remember why you're celebrating. In your celebration, you're honoring what I have done. As you celebrate, you're honoring my faithfulness. You're honoring something that I've brought you through, or the way that I've provided for you. And as you stop to celebrate, what you're doing is you're bringing it to life again. You stop to think about it. Remember the time when God came through here as a nation. They would think about it. Remember the time when we had no other hope, but we learned that God is our Savior. He is our provider. We had no other way out. Remember the time. And they begin to teach their young people about it and their children about it, and make sure it was passed on to the next generation. And the whole strategy to make sure that that happened was a celebration. Because when you celebrate something, you bring it to life again. And when you bring it to life again, you might just find that it's coming out of your heart again, instead of just being head knowledge as it maybe was the day before. Now, I began to think about this. If I were an Israelite and I was celebrating, I was supposed to celebrate this festival of harvest or something like this, it matters not the season that I have been in. I'm not celebrating because necessarily I've had a great season. I'm celebrating because God said, celebrate this season. As you do it, you're going to remember that I am the Lord of the harvest. It doesn't matter whether I've had a great season or not. It doesn't matter whether I've had a great year or not. I'm going to celebrate because this is the time to celebrate. And as I celebrate, because it's the right time to celebrate, I'm honoring who you are. And as I honor who you are, I'm valuing what you've done. And as I value what you've done, I might just find the joy in it again, regardless of the season that I've been in. And I began to think, well, if that's the case for an Israelite, then maybe it's the case for a Christian as well, that it matters not how my 2016 has been. Come on, I don't know what you've been through this year. I'm sure that there were some things that caused you to have joy. And I'm sure just because I lived through this year as well, that there were some things that caused you to have sorrow. There were things that you went through that you would naturally celebrate over. And I'm sure that there were things that you wouldn't naturally celebrate over. It wasn't the natural response. But either way, it matters not. This is the season we celebrate. And we celebrate not because of the year that we've had. We stop and celebrate because of who He is and what He's done. And as I celebrate who He is and what He's done, I begin to honor who He is and I begin to value what He's done. And as I value it, joy fills my heart again, not because of what I've been through, but because of who He is. It rekindles that flame again in my heart. I ought to have joy, not because of what I'm going through. If I never get anything else in life again, You've already been so good to me, God. And in a society, I mean, think about it, in the most livable city in the world, again, by the way, if you're watching online, come visit. We're not biased. It's actually voted as voted by the world. I think it actually might be galactical. I think it might be a universal best city in the universe. Maybe I'm reading into it, but I'm fairly certain. Best city in the world. It's amazing how you can be so blessed in Melbourne, in the most incredible nation, be surrounded by prosperity. And please don't read that as per how much money you have in your wallet right now. No, we live in a society of prosperity. We are blessed. I don't know if you've ever traveled or ever seen anywhere else in the world. We are blessed just to live here. But it's possible to be surrounded by such blessing and prosperity and still not have Thanksgiving come naturally to your heart. I want to suggest to you today, the joy comes naturally when you live in thanks. Joy naturally flows out of the tap when you turn that tap of thanksgiving on. And I want to suggest to you that maybe if there's joy, you feel like joy is running dry, maybe it's because we've turned that tap off of thanksgiving. We stop being thankful for what we had. We stop being thankful for what He's already done. Contrary to what Western civilization might teach us, joy is not in receiving what I don't already have. Joy isn't just getting that next present. Joy isn't just in receiving something. Joy is in the thanksgiving for what I already have. It's being thankful and grateful that even if I receive nothing around that tree on December 25th, I'm so thankful that I've already received Jesus. You are my provider. You've been so generous to me, God. I'm turning on that tap of thanksgiving right now. And as I do, I might just find joy flowing out. Come on, is there anybody thankful for Jesus? Is there anybody thankful for the Savior? It's a season of joy. Merry Christmas. Or joy yucks. Whatever that says, it says Merry Christmas is what it says in some foreign language. It says Merry Christmas. Now, Merry is not Mary, Mary. We had a teenager take over our Instagram on Friday night to take pictures of Boom, and they wrote Merry Christmas. No, it wasn't a play on words. I think they thought it's what it actually is. We have the role of spiritually teaching and just generally educating people, you know. That's actually the truth. Anyways, we're working on it. Merry Christmas. It's meaning that this season is supposed to be filled with joy. Have a joyful Christmas. Not because everything was ticked off the list and you finally got everything cooked in time and they didn't miss their flights, they arrived. Not because of all those things, but because of what we've already been given. Can I get an amen? It's the season of joy. I believe joy is a natural response for being thankful for what we already have. Joy springs up from thankfulness. Psalm 16 verse 11 says, in your presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. But then Psalm 104 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and a thank offering, and into his courts with praise. So if in your presence is fullness of joy, but I enter into your presence with thanksgiving, then that tells me the way to access joy is through giving thanks. There's joy in your presence, but I enter in by giving thanks. That tells me that I access that joy again. That joy that lasts forever, that's not based on my circumstances or what I have or have not. That joy that's based on being in your presence, I access that again by entering in through giving thanks. Can we try this just for 2 minutes? Could we do this little spiritual experiment? Do you want to experience joy? Stand to your feet just for a moment. Come on, let's sing. No, I'm joking. I don't have a song. You didn't know what we're about to sing anyway. You were just... joy to the world? No. It's just not the right vibe, although the words are very applicable. We're not... band, you don't need to go anywhere. This isn't a song. We're just going to practice entering in. And I promise you, in 2 minutes, if you enter in right now with thanks, I promise you, money back guarantee... You didn't pay to get in, so jokes are on you. In 2 minutes, you'll feel more joyful if we enter in with thanksgiving. Are you ready? Come on, without anybody leading you or a song to express it, would you go ahead and just give him some thanks right now? Come on, would you be thankful for what he's given? Come on, in your own words, whatever's springing up from your heart, would you give him thanks right now for the way he's provided for you this year? Come on, would you give him thanks for Jesus? Come on, would you give him thanks and honor him for the way that he's blessed your family? Come on, church, lift your voices, give him thanks. Enter into his courts with thanksgiving and praise. Come on, church, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. When I begin to think about what you brought me through, I give you thanks. I'm so thankful for Jesus. Where would I be without you? I'm so thankful for my Savior, my provider. I'm so thankful that you healed me. I'm so thankful you delivered me. Come on, give him praise. Come on, fill this place with thanksgiving. Oh, we honor you, Jesus. If you just lift your hands for one moment, focus on Jesus. Would you fight through the checklist and the to-do list and the worries and the stresses? Would you push through all the other things you came thinking about this morning? Would you push through the way it might feel or everything else that might be going on? And would you give him thanks right now by considering how faithful, how good, how trustworthy, how wonderful, how awesome is our God. We worship you, Jesus. There's no one like you. And as I begin to give you thanks, Jesus, as I begin to remember what you've set me free from, I can't help but be filled with joy, not because my circumstances have changed yet. Not because I'm surrounded by anything different, but because my heart and my mind begin to be filled with thanks just for who you are. Thank you, Jesus. Would you give somebody a high five? Say, I'm stepping back into that in a moment. Now check yourself. If we were praying for healing, we'd say, hang on, do I feel any different? Well, I want you to check for some joy right now. Hang on, do I feel any lighter? Do I feel any better right now? Because not because anything changed, but just because I began to put my perspective not on what I'm going through, but what has already been given to me. Check my spirit right now. Check my soul. Do I feel any more joyful? Any more full of joy than I did before? Come on, check yourself. Just give it a little joy wriggle. Well, we'll just keep preaching for a moment. We'll come back to it. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16-18 says, be joyful always. Never stop praying. But how? How can you tell me, Pastor Andy, some of the things that my family's been through? How can I be joyful always? How am I supposed to never stop praying? Well, it tells us in the very next sentence, thank God in everything. I don't know if you heard me. Thank God in everything. Be thankful in all circumstances. Thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be. Be thankful and give thanks, for this is the will of your Father. If I'm thankful in all things, I'll find joy comes pretty easy. Amen. I began reading an Advent Bible reading plan. I didn't really know what it meant. I thought I knew what an Advent calendar was. It's the thing you get chocolates out of when you count down to Christmas. I thought maybe this reading plan will be the same. Sorry, I'll reserve those jokes for our American crowd. That's the kind of humor they enjoy. Anyways, an Advent reading thing, I thought, yeah, this seems Christmassy. But what I discovered is, as I began to read it, all it was pointing me toward was who Jesus is. There were all these promises in the Old Testament, and it would flip between the promises and then the fulfillment, things that would say about who Jesus was going to be, who this Messiah was going to be, and then it would show me in the New Testament who he showed himself to be. And it was just interesting. I began reading it in a cafe, sitting like, here's the coffee machine, and here's the coffee, and here's the iPad, and here I am, and here are the tears that began to flow down my face, and here's the barista looking at me like, is it that bad? I'm sitting in the cafe. I couldn't care less about what's going on around me. Why? Not because I was thinking about the presents that I may or may not be getting at Christmas. I just began to remember who Jesus is. I was overwhelmed with the thought that this is the gift. He is the gift revealed that I've already been given. And the Bible is illustrating and showing and highlighting to me, making it obvious and conspicuous to me. Here he is. Here's what he's like. I began to be overwhelmed with just who he is, this gift. And as I was overwhelmed, my heart was full of joy again. You will celebrate. You will. Some of you need to look around your family at Christmas. You will celebrate. This is the season. I want to celebrate some of the things I read this week that Jesus is, just a few things that filled my heart as I began to think of it. I want to thank Jesus, firstly, for the humility. Say, that seems like a strange thing. No, this is what I was overwhelmed with when I began to read about it. Thank you, Jesus, for the humility. It coming for me. God, coming as a baby. Are you kidding? That you would make yourself dependent on the very creation that you formed. Philippians 2 verse 6 to 7 says, who, although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, possessing the fullness of the attributes which make God, God, did not think this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained, but stripped himself of all the privileges and rightful dignity so as to assume the guise of a servant slave, that in that he became like men and was born a human being. Luke 2 verse 7 says, she gave birth to her son, her firstborn. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room or place for them in the inn. that when you came, Jesus, there wasn't even room for you. I get frustrated when things seem unjust, you know, when I get cut off by a car this morning on the way to church, that seems unjust. Do you know not who I am? I'm just kidding. Jesus came as a baby. There's not even any room for him. To put himself in that position, to be raised and taught by the people that he created. Jesus waking up in the consciousness that he created. Waking up in the very life that he had sustained with his own breath since the beginning. He was creating Adam out of dust. He was breathing life in Adam. And he was willing to become the dust that he created. The dust under our feet as we trampled him. He was willing to become the lowest of the low. So that at my lowest point, he would save me. Thank you, Jesus, for the humility. I won't treat it with familiarity. I won't get used to it. I won't be so concerned with his to-do lists at Christmas that I miss the price that was paid just to come in humility to rescue my soul. Jesus, I don't know whether I would have thought it was worth it, but you thought the price was worth paying. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know if there's a bunch of thankful people in Melbourne at this 10 a.m. service that would join me for just about 20 seconds to say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the humility. Thank you, Jesus, for becoming the light. Isaiah 42, verse 6 to 7. I, the Lord, have called you the Messiah for a righteous purpose, and in righteousness I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you for a covenant to the people Israel and a light to the nations, to open the eyes of the blind and to bring out prisoners from their dungeon, those who sit in darkness from the prison. Isaiah 9, verse 2 to 3. For the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of intense darkness and the shadow of death, upon them has the light shined. And you, O Lord, have multiplied the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you like the joy in harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil of battle. Thank you, Jesus, for becoming my light. In a world so full of darkness, can't even watch the news without being overwhelmed by some of the darkness that's happening, not just halfway around the world, but sometimes even in our own city. I can't help it sometimes feel overwhelmed by the darkness that we witness, and it seems like what could possibly be victorious and triumphant over that darkness, but light. Thank you, Jesus, that no matter what we've been through, some of us, the darkest of the darkest nights, upon you has the light shined. Thank you, Jesus, that I have a hope and I have a light, that in the darkness that this world sometimes seems to know, we have a light. Where would our world be if it was not for this light that has shone upon us? This light, his name is Jesus. I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful for that light of hope. I'm so thankful for that light that shone upon my heart to reveal what I needed to know, that I needed a Savior. He showed me the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you, Jesus, for the light. And thank you, Jesus, for becoming the shepherd. Three things I wouldn't normally focus on, but as I read it, I was overwhelmed. Thank you, Jesus, for being my shepherd. Ezekiel 34, verse 11 to 12, for thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep. Church, think about this for a moment. I know it's God talking about Israel, but it's God talking about you. You were his lost sheep. We were his lost
sheep that he went after. Come on, can we just think about this for a moment? Can you just give me a wave? I just want us to acknowledge this for a moment. Get all of us, can you just give me a wave right now? Because as you're waving, I want us to acknowledge, yeah, that's me. Thank you, that's me that the Bible is talking about right now. Come on, if you know this is the Bible talking about you, give me a wave. Come on, let's not make the mistake thinking that's good, that's talking about somebody. No, take this personally. This is God some years ago, what's more, looking forward to you saying, I will search for you. Come on, can you let your heart be overwhelmed with this again? What a God we serve. I will search for my sheep. I will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his sheep in the day that he's among the flock that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. I will rescue them out of places where they've been scattered in the day of clouds and thick darkness. I will search for them. And in John 10, verse 14 to 15, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. In other words, he's saying, I'm the one who's come to find you. Nobody made me. I left heaven of my own accord. In fact, in a few verses later, he says, nobody takes my life. I willingly lay it down. I came here to do it. Because as a shepherd, I came here to win my sheep back. Church, at this Christmas time, can we be overwhelmed with thanks again? That was me. Thank you, Jesus, for coming as my shepherd to win me back. I'm not just going to be generous to my friends and my family around this time. I'm going to sit in awe of your generosity, that you would be bothered, Jesus, that you would go to that extent, not just to be generous and buy me something, that you yourself, you would give the most precious gift of all. You would come to give your life to win me back. What does a shepherd do? A shepherd comes to lead, to guide, to protect, to feed, to care for. I'm so thankful for a God who cares enough for me. And I began to think, if joy comes from the thankfulness, thankfulness comes from valuing and honoring something, then it really all comes down to the extent at which I have value for him and what he's done in my heart. Now, when you have something for a long time, it's easy to have value for it at the start, but after you have it for some time, you get used to it, don't you? It's called consumerism. Have a look at children with gifts on Christmas Day, and then have a look at those same children with those same gifts a few days later. It's just fast forwarded in children, everything is. When you're more sensitive, you experience things quickly, more quickly, and that's what kids do. They just show us what our own hearts are like. They just show us more obviously and more quickly. But we all get familiar with what we have, which means we all begin to grow numb to the value of what we have. Some of us that might just be new to knowing Jesus might be filled with thanks right now, because perhaps it was 7 days ago that you first realized that he is my light, he is my shepherd, he is the one that came to win my heart. But some of us that have maybe known this for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, I don't know how long, and I don't wish to guess your age, but I don't know how long you may have grown familiar with this, but sometimes what happens in the growing familiar is another Christmas will go by and another Christmas will go by, and we've lost that value for who he is and what he has done. If I'm going to celebrate, then I have to have value. I began to think maybe sometimes the best way to recognize having value for something is to imagine what life would be like if I did not have what I now have. In other words, maybe I would value him again if I began to think just for a moment, where would I be? Where would our world be? I'd be unchosen. I'd have no right. I'd have no place in the kingdom of God. I'd have none of the joy that I have now. Have none of the peace, none of the freedom. I'd have no access into what I so freely take for granted these days. Where would I be? Church, for a moment, will we bow our heads? Will we close our eyes? And would we begin to consider? Come on, I really want you to go with me for a moment, because maybe it's been for a while. In fact, I can sense this even as I'm saying it, for a while. For some of us, I want us to think on this for a few minutes, because it may take a few minutes for it to dawn on some of us again. Where would we be? It's not by my right that I've come. It's not by my goodness. Where would I be, Jesus, if you hadn't set me free? Where would I be, Jesus, if you hadn't called my name? Where would my family be if my dad's family hadn't got saved at that Billy Graham crusade? Where would my family be? Where would I be, Jesus, if you didn't call me out and in that crowd when I was 13, somehow get my attention? Where would I be if you hadn't come for your sheep? Jesus, this season, we don't want to grow familiar. We don't want to just get through it. We don't want to get one Sunday closer to Christmas without celebrating who you are. And we can't celebrate without valuing. And so right now, Holy Spirit, I'm asking that you would peel back those layers of familiarity on us as your people, that you would make our hearts sensitive to that value again right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, that it would dawn on us again. Lord, that it would enter into our hearts and overwhelm us again right now in this moment, that there would not be one person in this place with hearts too numb to begin to be overwhelmed with that joy and thanksgiving of who you are.
Well, I hope that message was a real blessing to you, and I pray blessing on you and your family around this Christmas season as well. Hey, why not connect with us online? Check it out, planetshakers.com, or all the social media channels as well, at Planet Shakers. Have an incredible week.